The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
There is a bit of that you are not saying. Can anyone remember the other part?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What a full church today. Good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Newport on Tay Church of Scotland and to our service of public worship. It's Easter morning when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ and when we celebrate new life in Christ Jesus. On behalf of our parish, I would love to welcome all those who are worshiping with us this morning for the first time, or those who are doing so after a long while. At the end of the service, we usually have teas and coffees and cakes and other sweeties. Please join us for fellowship. I will now invite the session clerk to say a word to our student on practice.
Good morning, everyone. I mentioned before that I hate long goodbyes, but this one is the goodbye that's lasted a fortnight. As most of us will recall, Ali Stark preached for the last time with us as part of his placement here recently, and we gave him a brief cheerio. But this is an opportunity for all of us to say cheerio to him, and I hope you get an opportunity to thank him for his time that he's given to us. This is a time of growth for him, but it certainly felt like a time of growth for us as well. I actually came with a talk, and I didn't get to say it last time because Amos stopped me, but now's my chance to say the things I didn't say. But there was just one little thing I'm going to have to tell you, because I had that talk prepared last time, and it was all based on a verse from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, when the writer says, "You are living stones," which I think is really appropriate because it talks about the living stones containing the word of God. And I'd prepared a talk around it, and blow me, did Ali not come with the service prepared, and that was one of the readings he chose for that Sunday. So I feel there's some kind of holy movement going on in that moment. So it's our chance to say cheerio, to wish Ali and Jenny and the children every success and every blessing in what they do from now on. And we realise, Ali, that you're a young family, you've got a whole time of change, you're going to have some really practical needs coming before you, and that's why we've decided to recognise it by giving you an ornament, because that's probably what you're going to need. And so we're hoping you put it somewhere above child height. That's all I'm saying. Ali, could I invite you just to come forward? The reason that I was doing this was because somebody went out to find something to mark your time, and what we came up with was a stone cross, and it's got words inspired by different verses of the Bible on it. And as I say, once Ella knocks it off the mantelpiece the first time, that's probably it. But
I'll make sure that that won't happen.
But the reason that we do it is because we know that the word of God, Ali, it dwells in your heart, but it overflows into everything else you do. So on behalf of the Kirk Session, the minister, and the congregation, I would just like to thank you for your time and wish you every blessing in everything you do.
This is very beautiful, and I'm looking forward later to studying it properly, and it will be treasured, which is quite appropriate because I really mean this, that the people here will be treasured in our hearts as we move from this place and journey. We will bring you with us, you know. I'm so grateful for this opportunity to come and be with you and to have the wonderful mentorship of Amos and to get to know you all, and I hope that we keep in touch. There was something that struck me with it being Easter Sunday today, and I suppose I couldn't think of better kind of closing remarks than the author of the homily, Hebrews, May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And I also have something. I wish I had something for Graham as well, but then I wish I would probably also then need to get something for all of you, and then for these lot, and then for Hannah, and then for everybody else here. So if I could, I would have, because you've all so much been part of this journey for me and my family, and we're so grateful. One of the things that Paul very often begins his letters with, I've noticed, is, I thank my God every time I remember you, and that will continue to happen as we go beyond this place. So thank you so much, and I'd like to just give this to you, Amos, to say a big thank you for all that you've done. Thank you. There's something inside it that you can...
Wow. Wow.
Something for the man.
Bless you and keep you so much on this.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, brother. And I wish you every blessing as you finish your studies and join us to shepherd the flock of God and
Absolutely.
To build his kingdom.
Absolutely.
Every blessing.
Amen. Thank you. Thanks, everybody. Cheers. Cheers.
And just to say that we also welcome those who are worshiping via Zoom. And as we think about the resurrection, I would love to remind the congregation that on Tuesday, Maggie Lane will be giving a testimony about death, resurrection, and heaven. And all of you are welcome to come and listen to her. I'm very sure it will be a very exciting and moving testimony. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 118, the verses 14 to 17. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. The Lord's right hand is lifted high. The Lord's right hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what the Lord has done. Let us worship God. And our first hymn, 410, Jesus Christ is risen today.
Amen.
Let us pray. Merciful and ever-living Father, Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, when everything was dark and it seemed that the sun would never shine again, your love broke through. Your love was too strong, too wide, too deep for death to hold. The sparks cast by your love dance and spread and burst forth with resurrection light. Gracious God, we praise you for the light of new life made possible through Jesus. We praise you for the light of new life that shone on the first witnesses of the resurrection. We praise you for the light of new life that continues to shine in our hearts today. We pray that the Easter light of life, hope, and joy will live in us each day of our lives, and that we will be bearers of that light into the lives of others. Almighty God, you brought again our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. We know that we are unworthy of your redeeming grace. We have not always believed your promises, nor trusted in our living Lord. Forgetting his presence and redeeming power, we have been overcome by evil. We have not listened to the glad news of his victory over death and have refused to be comforted. Take away from us, O God, our sins which separate us from you, that with pure hearts and cleansed lips we may come before you and celebrate this service joyfully and praise your name. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our next hymn, All Things Bright and Beautiful, is 137.
Good morning, children. Many children in church today. Please come out for children's address. You form a whole church this morning with your numbers. That's very encouraging. How are you this morning? That's Anna coming. Welcome, Anna. Good morning to you all. Hello. How are you this morning? Good? How was the experience this morning? Did you go up the hill? Did you enjoy that? So today is a special day, and I'm seeing some of you are in your Sunday best. What is so special about today?
Yes. It's Easter.
It's Easter. Easter Sunday. What's another name for Easter? You don't know. What's another name for the Easter Sunday? Okay, what happened on Easter? Yes.
Jesus rose from the dead.
Put our hands together, please, for these children. Jesus rose from the dead. For how long was he in the grave? Yes?
3 days.
3 days. Okay. You are very brilliant with these questions this morning. So, he died on Good Friday. He was in the grave for the whole of yesterday. And today, he comes back to life. And that is why we call this day the Resurrection Sunday. Now, on that day when Jesus rose from the dead, something happened and a number of people were involved. And one of the things I was thinking about when I read the story from John chapter 20 is how often I forget about things. Sometimes I keep things in my office, I'm looking for them. They are on my table, on my desk, but I don't seem to find them. Have you ever had that experience? You are looking for something which is just around you and you don't seem to find it. How many of people have had that experience? Yeah. Okay. Almost everybody. Okay. So you're actually looking for something. It's just there, but you can't find it. So what happened on Easter Sunday is that Mary Magdalene got out of bed very early in the morning, before 5 a.m., How many of you get out of bed by 5 a.m.? How many? No. You are still in bed at that time. But Mary Magdalene got out of bed and went to the tomb. She went to anoint Jesus. And when she went there, she looked inside. The stone was rolled away. And so she thought that Jesus was not there. And we are told in that story that he stood outside the tomb weeping. Because he believed that maybe some people had taken Jesus' body away. But then she looked inside the tomb and found that the linens that were used to wrap Jesus were there. But Jesus was nowhere to be found. But the story at the end says that Jesus was standing just nearby. And after some time, when the angels had asked her what she was looking for, Jesus also asked her why she was crying and who she was looking for. And when she heard the voice of Jesus, she recognized that was Jesus Christ. So sometimes we look for things which are around us, but we don't find them. What might be the reasons? What might be the reasons why we don't find the things we look for when they are just around us? Any answers? Yes? We don't look properly. Correct answer. Let's clap for Michaela. We don't look properly. And now, what I learned from this story again is that sometimes the solutions to our problems are not far off. Mary's problem at that time was Jesus. Jesus was around her. And she was looking for Jesus because Jesus had helped her so much in her own life. all of us who come to church, we come to church because we know that Jesus can help us. He helps us with our spiritual lives. He helps us to grow. He helps us to be good children. And so we need him. But we are not looking for Jesus at the graveyard or in a certain tomb. Jesus Christ is revealed to us in the Bible. And each time we read the Bible, we go closer to Jesus and we learn from him. But one of the things about the resurrection story is that Jesus commissioned Mary Magdalene. He told her to go out and tell people that he was alive. So what are you going to do after this, after Easter? What are you called to do? To tell people about Jesus Christ, okay? Tell your friends about Jesus Christ. Invite your friends to church. I want to see double this number next week when we come to church. Tell them that Jesus is alive. And let us continue to seek him from the pages of Scripture and as we come to church every week. So let us pray. Father, we give you thanks for this great day in the salvation history of mankind. And we thank you for our children. Young as they are, we know, O Father, that you're opening their minds so that they can learn from your word to be strengthened in all the things that they do. Father, as we continue to think about this story of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we pray that you will renew our lives and encourage us to be witnesses as we go back into the world. Take all the honor and the glory and the power, for you live and reign through Christ our Lord. Amen. We will now sing at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It's 458.
Thank you. The Old Testament reading is taken from the first book of Samuel, chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, and 6 to 10. Then Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord. In the Lord my horn is lifted high. My mouth boasts over my enemies, for I delight in your deliverance. There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one besides you. There is no rock like our God. The Lord brings death and makes alive. He brings down to the grave and raises up. The Lord sends poverty and wealth. He humbles and he exalts. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes and has them inherit a throne of honor. For the foundations of the earth are the Lord's. On them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful servants, but the wicked will be silenced in the place of darkness. It is not by strength that one prevails. Those who oppose the Lord will be broken. The Most High will thunder from heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth." And the New Testament reading is taken from John chapter 20, actually verses 1 to 17. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned round toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and to your God." Praise be to God, and may his blessings be upon the reading from his word. We now continue the service by singing hymn 442, "Blessing and Honor, Glory and Power."
Thank you.
Let us pray. Blessed Lord, after your passion, you showed yourself alive to your apostles on several occasions and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Speak to us now also, we pray you, that waiting on you in faith and hope, we may know your will and serve you wholeheartedly all the days of our life, you who together with the Father and the Holy Spirit live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord is risen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, stop weeping. Our best days are still to come. We celebrate Easter in the midst of the confusions in our lives. But there is something I read recently about Easter confusion. It's about a 5-year-old boy who had a pivotal verse to recite in an Easter program. And that verse is Luke 24, verse 6. He is not here, he is risen. Unfortunately, he could not remember what to say, and the director had to quietly remind him of his line. He then confidently grabbed the microphone and triumphantly shouted, "He is not here! He is in prison." But Jesus Christ is not in prison. He is not here. He has been raised. And we are celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ in a world that is plagued by all kinds of problems, some of which quickly bring tears to our eyes, in much the same way like Mary Magdalene, who was weeping in her confusion at the graveside of Jesus. Think of mental health issues such as depression and anxiety that are prevalent in the United Kingdom, with many people struggling to access the support they need. Long waiting lists for therapy and a lack of resources for mental health services sometimes bring tears to our eyes. Then there is financial hardship that most of us are facing, including low wages, unemployment, and debt, caused partly by the unfortunate war in Ukraine. And this has led to stress and anxiety. The wars in Ukraine, in Israel and Palestine, and civil unrest in places like Iran and in Cameroon, my own home country, are unfortunate events in our world. Then there is discrimination based on race, gender, and sexuality, and other factors that make people to feel excluded or marginalized, as well as impacting their opportunities for employment, housing, and other aspects of life. No wonder many people are weeping. And so it is right for us to ask this question individually: why are you weeping? Both the angels and Jesus asked Mary Magdalene the question at the tomb: "Woman, why are you crying? Why are you weeping?" Jesus Christ had been in the grave for 2 nights, and on Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb to anoint his body. When she found that the stone covering the tomb had been rolled away, she concluded that the body had disappeared or maybe rough-handled by some unknown persons. So she went back and informed Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. These two rushed to the grave, bypassing Mary Magdalene, and on arrival, they found that the body of Jesus was not there. So they returned to their homes. But Mary Magdalene stood outside the tomb, weeping. As she wept for the first time now, she stooped to look into the tomb. She saw two people in white and recognized that there were angels sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and the other at the feet. The angels said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Saying this for some reason, because maybe the angels had seen him, she turned round and saw Jesus standing, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will carry him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." Instantly, she recognized his voice and said to him, "Rabboni, my teacher." And Jesus said to her, "Do not hold me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brethren and say to them, 'I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" And we are told that Mary Magdalene went at once and said to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that Jesus had commissioned her. Now, I want to draw your attention to the fact that the Apostle John, with consummate artistry, draws two important lessons which neatly encapsulate Mary's encounter with Jesus in the garden. Firstly, we see Mary weeping because she thought she had lost her master. And secondly, we see her clinging to Jesus because she thought she had got him back again. I want to deal with the first theme this morning for the sake of brevity. John 20, verse 11, Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. We are meant to imagine Mary Magdalene weeping and wailing because the Greek word that is used of her, clamor, speaks of lamentation, a passionate expression of grief or sorrow. But imagine the contrast in that garden. Here is a weeping woman and a resurrected Lord in the garden together. Here is a despairing woman and a triumphant Lord. Here is a living and reigning Savior and a sorrowful woman side by side in the same garden. We can even add that here is a problem and the solution in the same place. And the reason Lord is well able to dry Mary's tears, but she doesn't know who he is. And as we watch, as it were, from a distance, and more imaginarily, we feel like shouting out to Mary, "Look round, turn round." We want to say to Mary Magdalene, "Stop weeping, turn round. The answer to your sorrows is behind you." So she does turn round, but still doesn't recognize him. She doesn't realize what has happened to him. That's the situation in our text. I think we need to ask the question, why was Mary weeping? Twice that question is asked her, first by the angels, then by the risen Lord himself. "Woman, why are you weeping?" Of course, in many ways, she had good reasons to cry. She had observed the brutality of the crucifixion. She had witnessed the burial rites and the burial of her Lord. She wept because she had been denied the opportunity to pay her final tribute to the dead body of Jesus. She wept because she feared that the grave robbers had done to his sacred body some unspeakable sacrilege. She wept because she was alone. Even the apostles and the other women had gone. And she was abandoned and alone in her despair. But even more than this, Mary Magdalene wept because she thought she had lost the only man who had ever truly understood and loved her, the Savior who had delivered her from her bondage and given her a new life. She wept because she couldn't face the future without this almighty Savior. The light had gone out of her life and she was in the deep darkness of grief and even of despair. But of course, Jesus had not left her as she thought. Jesus had risen. He was there by her very side. If only she knew who it was, her tears would quickly have been dried. Why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Somebody here, do you see yourself in Mary Magdalene? I wonder if the reason Lord is saying to you, woman, man, why are you weeping? To be sure, there is a great deal to weep about in our world today. Think of the emaciated bodies of children and people in poor countries of the world and in places like Ukraine, plagued by war. Think of the brutal killing of innocent citizens in Israel and Palestine and other parts of the world. The lack of consensus among world leaders on issues of peace and welfare, and a rising economic crisis and soaring energy bills in the world, no doubt we weep. But some of us are weeping because of our past, our failures, and our sense of shame over what we have been and done, our guilt. Maybe some are weeping over their savage temptations and heavy responsibilities in the present. Or maybe it's your fears and anxieties about the unknown future that makes you want to cry. And I tell you, friend, we shall go on weeping until the reason Lord says to us, why are you weeping? There is no need to go on weeping. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Now, of course, our temptations will always be with us. Our responsibilities and our anxieties may remain. But the resurrection of Jesus Christ puts all these things into a new light. It tells us that Christ died for our sins and has been vindicated. It tells us that he triumphed over death. And it assures us that one day, God is going to make the whole universe new, and he is going to wipe away all tears from our eyes. There is no need to go on weeping. Dear Easter people, the resurrection story of Jesus Christ is of great encouragement to me as I struggle to face my own personal problems. And one of the great lessons I learned from it is that our best days are yet to come. The story is told of a bright young girl of about 15 years of age who was suddenly cast upon a bed of suffering, completely paralyzed on one side and nearly blind. She heard the family doctor say to her parents as they stood by the bedside, "She has seen her best days, poor child." "No, doctor," she exclaimed, "my best days are yet to come when I shall see the king in his beauty." That is our hope. We shall not sink into annihilation. Christ rose from the dead to give us a pledge of our own rising. The resurrection is the great antidote for fear of death. Nothing else can take its place. Riches, genius, worldly pleasure or pursuits, none can bring us consolation in the dying hour. What a glorious hope there is in the resurrection because of the promise of Christ and our relationship to him. And I think John puts all this into perspective in his revelation at Revelation chapter 21. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God.' He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain. For the old order of things has passed away. Stop weeping. Our best days are yet to come. Let us pray. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this very beautiful day in the history of Christianity and for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We think of the events that took place long ago, and we can still hear the echo of the voice of our Savior asking, "Why are you weeping?" And Father, we weep for our sins and for the troubles that beset us, but we bring them to you because we know that you can make our burdens light and give us life in its fullness. Answer us when we pray, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next hymn, "Lo, in the Grave He Lay." Let us pray. Let us dedicate the offering and let us thank God for ourselves as we also pray for the world. Lord our God, the giver of all good things, we pray you to see in these our gifts our desire to be consecrated to your service, and grant that now and always our gratitude to you may be as great as our need of your mercy. O God Most High, all praise and thanks be to you for your great love and kindness to us and all people. Especially today, we thank you with your whole church because you have overcome the darkness of death and brought us the light of life through the victory of Jesus Christ. We pray you, Almighty God, to fill your church throughout the world with his risen power. Pour out your Spirit on all who are called to minister in his name, and may all your people bear fruit abundantly to his glory. O God, you have promised your Son all parts of the world as his possession. Let your people Israel see him, the Messiah, promised to their fathers, and let all unbelievers come to know him as their Savior and worship him as Lord. We pray you let your mercy rest upon our land and nation, upon the King, the Prime Minister, the First Minister, and all in authority under them, that we may lead a quiet life in peace and honesty. Do away with the power of unbelief and superstition, and preserve to us your word and its free proclamation. Merciful Father, we commend to you all who are in need or danger. We pray again for our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, for those in Palestine and Israel, for the Anglophone problem in Cameroon. Relieve those who suffer. Restore health and strength to those who are sick. Let all those who have to carry heavy burdens in their lives find strength to endure in Christ, who is the resurrection and life. And grant those who are passing out of this world to see the light of eternal life. Give to those in sorrow, loneliness, the assurance that nothing can ever separate them from your love, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. We pray for all those dear to us, especially those from whom we are separated, whom we name in our hearts before you. May they rejoice with us this day. Father of mercies, we thank you that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and thus become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep in him. For your saints, martyrs, and confessors of every age and land, we thank you. Surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, grant us to die to sin with Christ, that we may live only for you, and in the end inherit the kingdom prepared for all who love him. And now to you, O Father, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. If you are able, please stand. Let us together affirm our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of God the Father, and he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Our final hymn, Thine Be the Glory, Risen Conquering Son, is 419 as we bring our service to its close. peace and serve the Lord. The Lord bless you and watch over you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God, who knows the thoughts and desires of every heart, guide and strengthen and fill you with all spiritual blessings and grace, that you may daily rejoice and be ready to give an account of your faith in the world. Amen.